listening to a program broadcast entirely in the Mohawk language on CKUT.
The Mohawk, or Ganyatgehaga, are the original people of the unceded traditional territory known as Montreal, or Chojaake. The Ganyatgehaga, or people of the Flint, have two communities close by, and they are working hard at revitalizing their language. This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Ganasadage on RKR, reviving Ganasadage Radio.
One of North America's foremost documentary film festivals will take place.
Montreal International Documentary Festival.
At EDM.
A 24th edition that's more socially engaged and unifying than ever.
The program includes this year's 100 best documentaries.
Screening from November 10th to the 21st in Montreal theaters.
Also available online from November 14th to the 25th all across Canada.
Come to the Cinémathèque Québécoise, where all stories meet.
Discover the complete program.
What's the matter? Is everything all right? That's okay. I've got just the right thing for you. CKUT 90.3 FM.
What's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
The bow-legged one. Yeah. What's your name? Here I go
again, girls, what's my weakness? Okay, then chillin', minding my business. You saw I looked around and I couldn't believe it. I swear, I stand, my niece, my witness. The brother had it going over something kinda, wicked. Had to kick it. I'm not shy, so I asked for the dick. If I hope no, that don't make for a bit. Don't know how you do the voodoo that you do so well. It's a spell, hell makes me wanna shoot. You packed in your stack, especially in the back, brother. Wanna thank your mother for a butt like that. Can I get some fries with that shake booby? If looks could kill, you would be an easy over shotgun bang. What's up with that thing? I wanna know, how does it hang? Wait up, hold up, Mr. Lover. Like Prince said, you're a sexy mother. Well, I like them real wild. B-boy style by the mile. Smooth black skin with a smile. Bright as the sun. I wanna have some fun. Come and give me some of that yum yum chocolate chip honey dip. Can I get a scoop? Baby, take a ride in my coupe. You make me wanna shoot.
Time. Here's the thing.
Yes, yes, it's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and we have a special guest joining us all the way from Edmonton, Anisha Reindorf of Haiku Co., which is a... Haiku Co. is a female-empowered company spreading the joy and benefits of cannabis around Canada. Anisha, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. Like, you are like 2-3 hours in the past. So thanks for making the time to be with us right now.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for having me. I more than appreciate everything that you're doing here and doing for the community. So I'm excited to be here.
You know, I'm just blessed to be carrying the torch because this started way before me, and hopefully it'll be here way after I have pass the torch on to someone else. Given that we're in the middle, the end of a pandemic, when we first started airing the show again, we like to check in with our guests and be like, yo, how has this all been for you? How are you doing it during this pandemic?
The pandemic was actually a blessing in disguise to my company. I think my company really boosted because of the pandemic.
Right. How so?
Just because people are staying home, the stress levels are very high right now. Emotional support anxiety is really high right now. So I felt like it was needed to be even more out there in the community, show Canada like, hey, we are here for you. We are Canada wide, and we are a vegan and gluten-free company as well. So that kind of crosses all barriers. There's really no excuse to show that you can benefit from this plan in every single way.
And what are some ways that you
you would say you've, aside from like the fact that it's a very stressful time right now, and you know you're able to like sell your products Canada wide, like what are some ways and some other ways in which this pandemic has also benefited you?
I've kind of gotten to not only just focus on my company, but focus on like kind of my hobbies as well.
Okay.
So I started doing personal styling for a couple artists out here in Edmonton, or not even Edmonton, Alberta, I should say. So that has been really fun. I've been able to kind of tap into my photography skills and videography skills, and filmed a few videos during quarantine, music videos. So
you definitely
check that out too. Yeah.
Nice.
So I got to like be the set director, film the videos, style the videos, kind of everything. You're all around guru for it. So that was really fun and interesting, and just get to know my customers more one-on-one. So it's been like a good journey, besides like being not in the community, like in person, you know, but
right.
It's been a great opportunity, and it's been a great networking opportunity as well.
Have you found that people have more like you in terms of social media, people have gravitated more towards your social media, and like, that's how you're getting in touch with people more?
I feel like it's more event-based. I've got to travel a lot of Canada during this quarantine as well.
Okay.
I actually drove from Edmonton all the way to Toronto. And
you drove?
That was very interesting. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so that was really interesting. But I got to socially distant, be out there in kind of a way with like a lot of farmer markets and just different little community events, as well as social media. Yes, has a great presence. I got my website on there as well, and because my website is mostly knowledge, it's all about education on there.
Right.
They've really kind of like, okay, so what else do you got, and like kind of tapped into different kind of places where they can find me.
Cool. So let's get to Haiku Co. What is Haiku Co? What is this business?
As you described earlier, it is a vegan, gluten-free cannabis lifestyle. So we kind of wanted to make sure that is a complete lifestyle. We're not only catering to, you know, your typical stoners or whatever the case may be. We are really definitely trying to break that stigma.
Okay.
So we kind of say we're your stoner best friend, as well as like your grandparents' spiritual guide, because a lot of our customers are actually seniors, which a lot of people find surprising, but seniors are where it's at. They know what they want, and you know, they're always like telling their friends, right? And that's
right.
The best part of networking.
And what type of products do you sell?
So we sell everything from edibles to topicals, fresh pressed juices, teas. We even do a lube. So we're literally a lifestyle.
Wait, a lube as in like for...
a sexual lube.
A sexual lube made from cannabis.
It is a CBD-based lube, and it's a water-resistant lube. Or sorry, a water... Water-based lube, yeah.
I didn't know how versatile cannabis was. I'm learning something new.
Because
I knew...
It's a lifestyle.
Because I knew about like hemp-based clothing, which is, I believe, if hemp is a derivative of the same plant.
Yeah. Yes.
But I never knew that it could be used as lube, or, you know, I knew it was used
even
in food.
Fuel,
but...
for gas fuel. You can even make cars out of hemp. But all parts of the cannabis, we use all parts of the plant as well.
Right.
So, and that kind of steers us in a different direction than a lot of these other companies. We don't see any part of wasting any part of the plant. Because again, like you said, every single part can be used, right? Like clothing or gasoline or lube, like we're doing right now.
I can imagine. I can imagine being used as gas. Like, it would be a very happy city if everybody was driving around in cannabis-based fuel cars.
And you don't need to get high off of our supply. And that's what we kind of want to preach out there. Like, you don't need to get high to benefit off of this plant. If you do want to get high, though, you can definitely holler at us as well. So,
okay.
You know. We have, like, again, because our customers are a lot of seniors, we do, like, a lot of arthritis, osteoarthritis, psoriasis rubs, migraine, you know, muscle rubs, kind of the whole works.
So how did you get to this business? I'll start with that. I have other questions, but how did you get to, like, okay, I'm gonna make this company that's cannabis based and provide all of these different services?
Well, in high school, I did find this quote that said, "Be the successful stoner that your parents said you couldn't be." And I ended up turning that into the successful stoner that my parents said I couldn't be.
All right. I guess do what you love and make money from it, right?
Yeah, exactly. But one thing I do preach is I don't get high off my own supply, right?
Okay.
I don't, like, eat my own edibles. I don't, like, you know, like, partake in a lot of my own stuff except for my rubs, just because, like, I feel like, you know, I don't even taste test my stuff. I actually have taste testers for it. And, like,
that makes sense because your taste buds are biased, right? Like,
yes, exactly.
It might be biased against you and it might be biased for you on any given day. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And you're your own worst critic, right?
Of course.
I'm very hard on myself and I, like, do suffer with a lot of imposter syndrome when it comes to this business. But, like, I think it kind of started, when I was younger, my dad actually passed away from MS, and, back in the day, there weren't a lot of ways for MS patients to kind of deal and, like, cope with it.
Right.
And the medical, aspect of it, like, they're still doing testing to this day. It's really hard to find a cure per se.
Yep.
But he did use cannabis to cope with his MS.
Right.
And few years down the line, 21, my best friend got diagnosed with MS now.
Right.
And in the Black community, MS is not really spoken about. You hear about MS, you see a white face behind it, you don't hear about it.
And just in case folks are listening and they don't know what MS is, could you just let them know?
So it's multiple sclerosis, and it kind of affects your joints and your muscles. And because of this, my dad actually ended up losing both his legs.
Wow.
Due to not being able to use that function in his body.
So doesn't it also affect the nerves?
Yeah, the nerve endings. All your nerve endings are affected by it.
Yeah.
So when my friend got diagnosed, she was actually in a car accident, and I'm like, she's like, I can't. My leg's not working the way how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they're like, okay, like this is why. And I remember I'm like, okay, my dad used cannabis, why not try it? Like, why not see where this can get you? And that's kind of when I started doing more research about medical cannabis and not recreational cannabis, and, like, not thinking of it as, you know, a substance that you would get high with, but thinking of the substance as a cure. So that kind of pushed that direction. And then, you know, a couple years later, I was tired of being in accounting.
Okay.
And, like, business, and I was just like, I need a break from all this. I'm tired of working for the man, especially moving out here to Alberta, where it's, like, the Texas of Canada. Okay. So it was really hard on me in a way. Like, you know, like, seeing racism on this level is really different for me. So I was like, you know what, I'm kind of done being this token Black girl that you guys want to have in your business meetings, and, like, being taken advantage for, and, like, not getting paid for my worth. That kind of left me in a position where I was like, I need to do my own thing. And I always wanted to help people. Customer service is kind of my field, and this was the best way, kind of tying in, like, my background, my love and passion for cannabis, and helping people. It just all tied in together.
Okay. So how was it going from your day job to being the stoner that your parents said you couldn't be? How did you make that transition? I love that expression, by the way. I'm gonna substitute, you know, be the artist that your parents said you couldn't be. Be the stoner that your parents said you couldn't be. It's an amazing expression. You should make a t-shirt line out of it.
I have it. I have it on a shirt. So
all right, there you go.
Everything is a marketing, you know, it's about marketing, getting your name out there, putting it out there, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. So how was that transition? Because, well, was accounting something that you were always passionate about?
No.
I knew it.
I kind of thrown into, well, I was always in like business management, right. And then I kind of got into like payroll and accounting and like accounts receivables. And then it kind of just stuck. Like I just got half the jobs I weren't even applying for. People were just like coming in to wherever I was working. And they're like, no, you need to come work for me. And like, okay, fine. So like majority of my jobs I didn't apply for. I didn't like have to submit my resume. It was all like, we know what you're capable of. And that transition though, from having to listen to someone all the time and like having a routine or like a quota, that was kind of difficult for me because I was so used to it. I started working at a really young age as well. So mm-hmm. I'm so used to having that structured life. And then to be wake up and be like, what am I going to do today? That was kind of a turning point. But then I was like, you know what? I got this, kind of put together all of my work experiences and said, okay, I need to have structure again in my daily life. So got to wake up at this time, got to shower at this time, got to, you know, do my routine in order for me to like kind of stay sane. And right. I'm also not seeing people. So this was pre-COVID where I started working for myself. So
right.
being isolated at home with like my dog and my cat, that was like kind of, I guess, I kind of went like, you know, a little bit, not crazy, but like it kind of put a damper on me.
Had some cabin fever.
I'm not, yeah, I'm like, I'm not having the social interaction that I'm so used to or that I crave, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was a lot to get used to. But
so basically, you were ready for the pandemic.
Yeah, I was so ready for the pandemic.
If you're at home, you're with your pets, you're doing all your work and kind of like, in kind of like your four yeah. walls, you were kind of prepared already in
I
a
was
sense.
Very prepared, and I'm a germaphobe, so that like nothing has like changed me in this pandemic. I'm like, oh, people don't wash their hands. Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
got it. Like,
well,
and I
have so many opinions about that.
So, as soon as I get it and I wash my hands, I'm like, this is nothing new to me, guys. Like. My pets, when they come inside from outside, they have to wash their paws and, you know, their stuff. Because I'm like, if I'm taking off my shoes and if I go to the bathroom, I have to wipe off. So do you. Yeah, so the pandemic didn't really affect me in any way except for, like, the positivities of, like, being able to network more and being able to get my name out there more. And word of mouth. Word of mouth helps so much.
Yeah. Good stuff. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Anisha Reindorf, owner and founder of Haiku Co., which is a female-empowered company spreading the joy and benefits of cannabis around Canada. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Situations out the door, so grab somebody and get your ass on the dance floor. What you did to me,
believe what you did.
tell your girlfriend, get changed, you're dressed like a tramp. Change your password so I can see your messages. When are you going to change your mind, you stubborn idiot? Change your attitude when you talk to me. Change your friends. You better change your tone of voice. It's not up to her to change. It's up to you. Violence against women stops now. Talk about it. Do something about it. And call SOS Violence Conjugale. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and my guest this evening is Anisha Reindorf, who is the owner and founder of Haiku Co. And, because we didn't mention this, I didn't mention it before, this is a 100% vegan and gluten-free cannabis lifestyle company. So, you know, it's not only about getting high off the supply. There's other stuff available too. Before the break, Anisha, you had mentioned that you kind of feel like you suffer from imposter syndrome being in this business. Why is that?
Just helping people, I guess. When I get a lot of the reviews, it's just, you're like, did I do that? Like, oh, I'm capable of that? Like, It kind of takes you out of yourself, and you're like, wow, like, I am changing. And then, like, sometimes you get up and you're like, why am I doing this? And you kind of feel like, I shouldn't be doing this. Maybe I should be, like, working in 9-to-5. Maybe I should be out there, you know, helping people in other ways and, like, getting a steady paycheck. And then, you know, again, I get, like, a really good compliment or a testimony or, you know, pictures from my customers. And it's still hard to take in. You're like, again, right. You're like, is this me? Am I doing this correctly? And it's kind of, it gets difficult sometimes, but you know,
where does it come from? Why would you feel some type of way that you're actually helping people?
It's like sometimes you don't believe in your abilities, I guess. That's the best way to put it. Like,
gotcha.
I have healing abilities. I've actually gone, I don't know where it was. I was just like walking and like this person stopped me and they're like, I just want to let you know, like, you are a healer. And I was like, oh, does she know, like, did she know my company? Like, what's happening right now?
It's kind of random.
Like, she just started reading me right there and then on the spot. And it was like, so creepy yet so interesting and like so intriguing at the same time. And to know that like someone else who doesn't know me, who like can randomly come up to me and let me know, like, hey, you believe in your healing hands and like what you're capable of. Mm-hmm. It's hard to like take in sometimes, you know. You're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess because you put in such a lot of hard work. And sometimes you like you said, you're your worst critic, but you're also like just thinking about the negative. Okay, what you have to do better, what could be, what you got to improve, that like you forget to appreciate the positive impact that you may have on the community and on people in general.
Yeah, especially like when it comes to like the products, you're like, am I putting out enough? Am I doing this like this way? I should be at the same level as this company. And I'm like, and then I have to like come back and be like, Anisha, no, like everything happens at your own timing. Like this is what's in place for you. Everything will happen when it happens.
100%.
Like that's just for me to like take my own step back and like remember and, you know, take in. Because I am on the right path. I am changing lives. And even today, my wife had to message me because I sent out put out a testimonial on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. She's like, just remember, babe, like you are changing lives out here. So like never doubt yourself. It's just to like remember I'm doing everything at my own pace and I am a small company. This is me, myself, and I, and everything is small batch. Everything is handcrafted. Everything I put out is direct. I speak with all my customers one-on-one. So I get to know a feel for them and make everything custom to their particular needs.
Wow.
Not like when you grab a CBD from the store, everyone's body is completely different.
Yes.
So if this one CBD works for you, it may not work for somebody else. Or if this amount works for you, it may not work for somebody else, especially when it comes to people with medical conditions like MS or cancer or, you know, anything, arthritis, like no two bodies are the same. So I like to know my customers one-on-one and custom make things that will suit that their needs.
Wow. That's interesting because I had a health and wellness coach on last week and she said the same thing. It's like she deals with her clients one-on-one because everybody's body is different. And so even if you're talking about fitness and nutrition, you know, it's got to be customized for the person, their habits, their moods, and all of that stuff. So it's really interesting that there's kind of a link. There's a link throughout many different kinds of wellness products, we'll say.
Yeah. And this company is all about like health and wellness. You know, we are promoting that. And again, breaking the stigma. That's what we're trying to do. Like, we're trying to stay away from this. Like this pothead mentality that people think, or like this lazy stoner mentality.
Right.
No, I've been working 9 to 5 forever and I was always smoking. So I don't understand where that mentality comes from.
Yeah.
I think I'm more productive like when I do take a toke in the morning or, you know, when I need to.
Right. So my next question is, how did you find out about the medicinal benefits of cannabis?
Well, again, through my dad using it for his pain. When I started smoking weed, when I was about 13. My mom caught me. Right. And the first thing she said was, if you want to smoke weed, you smoke it under my roof. You don't go out there and get it from your friends. You don't know what they're putting in it. Like, and don't go out there and smoke it on road because you never know if the police will come or anything like that. Like, you're a young black girl. Like, do it smart.
Yeah.
And
which is interesting because if people get caught smoking cigarettes, it's no big deal. But cigarettes are like 1,000 times worse than...
And it's 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're 1,000 times worse than...
10 times worse. And then when she told my brother, my older brother, he was like, okay, Annie, well, if you want to smoke, you don't smoke to get high. You smoke weed to meditate. So
right.
Here's a book. And he gave me Behold a Pale Horse. So... I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Say the name again.
Behold a Pale Horse.
Okay.
So, definitely not my level of reading when I'm 13. Definitely higher level. And the next book he gave me was like Power or like, you know, Laws of Attraction. It was just like, okay, you're going to smoke weed, so you're going to read.
Right. And you're going to understand that this is not just about escapism. This is about connecting yourself on a deeper level.
Exactly.
That's interesting. So, I think that's so beautiful that your mom was like, okay, you want to do this? Fine. Do it in the house. Because I'm kind of the same mentality that like when I have a child and like if we have more, like if they want to do it at home. Don't go out in the streets and do it. I know who we can get some from if you need it. And now I'm going to add that read a book thing. Because I think about it and like I wouldn't consider myself a necessarily rebellious kid when I was younger. But I think about all those kids who, you know, they're told not to do this, not to do that. Don't do this in my house, so on and so forth. That kind of attitude. And they still go out and do it outside. And then they put themselves in danger, like they're meeting a dealer or something like that. And so they're putting themselves in more dangerous situations. So and especially young women who want to have access to cannabis and whatnot, they are even in more danger because you don't know the kind of dealers that you're dealing with.
And like I really appreciate my mom for that and like our birthdays are very close together, so we're both Virgos, so she doesn't believe in, like, hypocrisy. So she's like, do what you gotta do. She smoked weed once. She's like, that was it. I had a bad experience. I'm not gonna do it again. This is your life. If you want to try it, do what you gotta do. If you don't like it, don't do it. If you like it, you like it. Like, I can't stop you.
I agree with that mentality 100%. 100%. Yeah. I always say try things 3 times. I always say try things 3 times. Yeah. Because the first time, you know, in our society, we have like mental blocks. So the first time you try something, you might already have a block against it. So like, no. The second time, you might be like, And if by the third time you're still as like against it as the first time, then just don't bother. There are definitely certain things that I think that at the first time, if you don't like it, you can definitely decide not to. But I mean, I always give myself like a three chance try. If I get to the third and I'm like, nah, bruh, like raw onions, don't even bother put that on my plate. Raw white onions.
Red raw onions.
Cut them up like thin. Slice them up thin and I'm good. If they're thick and chunky, no.
Onions are so good for you.
I can cook with them. I'll cook them down in a good curry, you know. But nobody give me no raw onion. When I order a burger, a vegan burger or something, and there's this big old piece of onion in there.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Can't deal with it. That's, I don't understand what these burger joints are doing with that. Like, throw some frizzled onions on that. I feel that way.
Saute it a little bit. Like,
I don't like saute that. It with some butter.
Yeah, something. Avocado butter, do that. We have vegan options.
We do, which is like so great to see right now. And I felt like I had to make a company that was vegan and gluten-free. Most of the guys in my family are Rasta. And growing up, again, there was no kind of gummies we could try because everything had pork in it.
Yeah.
So that was very like a must for me. If I was starting any company, it had to be vegan and gluten-free.
Well, that kind of answers the question that I was about to say. Why vegan?
Yeah. And it was like a niche market. I was the first company in Canada to start it. Second company in North America. So that's pretty big and pretty good.
So how long ago did you start Haikuko?
About 4.5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like right around the time... Shortly after it was legalized.
Or shortly before legalization.
Okay.
Like literally getting the stepping stones right before legalization. And then it's been about 2.5 years since we've been legal. So that's been pretty good.
Yeah. That's awesome. Like I remember when I was living in Jamaica and I went on a film shoot. I went on a music shoot. I was in theater school, and so I landed like a role in a music video. And nice. We shot on the first day, and then they took us to a place, and they gave us Aitol food, and I had never had Aitol before. And I was just like, and I tasted it, and I was like, wow. There's no salt, and no meat. And I was, and there was so much variety on one plate. Yeah. And I was blown away. You know, and for those who don't know what Aitol is, Aitol means there's no salt in your food. And usually it's Rastafarians that will talk about Aitol food. Yeah, Jamaicans in general will talk about Aitol, but specifically the Rasta community.
When I talk to Jamaicans or Rastas, I'm like, it's strictly Aitol. So they love that. They love to hear that.
That's it just feels good to be connected to the roots.
That's what it's all about. Like there's no reason to go out there and get all these like government products or like pharmaceutical products that literally are just damaging your body. I'm taking everything is locally sourced, so everything we use is like from the farms that we go to. We have farmers that we work with directly, so even down to like our peppermint for our teas or our peppermint for our rubs or cinnamon or like lemon balm, like every single thing we use is from someone's garden.
Right. That's amazing.
Yeah, so we're using the community.
Go ahead.
So we're using the community as much as we can. You know?
So are you like using the 100 kilometer rule? Like there's this television series where they're like, everything has to be within 100 kilometers of their home.
To stop my carbon print.
Well, it's
my carbon footprint.
Yeah, carbon footprint, and to like make sure that you know they get the best products within the community or within the area.
So I don't use the 100 rule, but it is mostly like within, let's say, 200. I want to say
right.
It's as close as it can be. our cannabis bud is actually from Nanaimo in BC.
Okay.
So I work directly with my farmer over there, and then comes down all the time to see me directly. And, you know, I think he's the furthest farmer that we deal with at this moment.
Excellent. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Anisha Reindorf, who is the owner and founder of Haiku Co., which is a cannabis company, 100% vegan and gluten-free. They provide a plethora of products. I can't even begin to list them. It's just a lot of stuff, from edibles to clothing and to balms and products that can be used for healing and just a general wellness. We do have to take a quick break. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
It's bigger than my nigga hip hop. She got me mesmerized with your black hair and your fat ass thighs. It's the way you hold it down to make my nature rise. You got me in the boutiques picking out your size. You make me push it and I can't get it out my mind. It's that body, I can't get it out my mind. Give it up, mind, know that you're down to ride. Hit the dance floor and bounce your hide. You got the bounce of mine and let me know when you're down to slide. I'll tell Ab to swing around and ride. I'll show you how I will grind. I make it splash like a thousand times. I'm like the stars falling out the sky. Big Moose. Flocko, make your waist get close. Make it green get smoke. Make your cat get stroke. Me and Faye make the track get dope. We stay set and pace in the race. Now let's go.
Girl, sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it hot like it's supposed to be.
The foe. Brooklyn is running the show. Let them know. From my scramblers, my gamblers, my dirty money handlers, my jugglers, my hustlers, professional or amateur. Woo.
Give it to me.
Come on.
Give it to me.
I said what?
Give it to me.
I got to get it all. You got to get involved. You ain't got it to give. You got to get along.
Give it to me.
Come on.
Give it to me.
I said what?
Give it to me.
Yeah, and if you holding it, I make you let go of it. And I'ma get it till my getting days is over with. And why not, love? Look what you got, love. You get me all charged up, expect me to stop, what? Come on, mommy, why you playing with me? Fix your face, run your waist, face, say it with me.
Sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it hot like it's supposed to be. Brown sugar, baby, give it to me. Brown sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it hot like it's supposed to be.
Brown sugar,
baby, give it to me.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what friendship does to me. It's unbelievable.
What? Yes, indeed.
That's what it is.
What it is, what it is now.
What it is, what it is,
what it is.
That's what it is.
What it is,
what it is
now. What it is, what it is.
Give me
that
rum, sugar.
Won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it high like it's supposed to be. Brown sugar, baby, give it to me. Brown sugar, won't you give it to me? Come on, baby, won't you give it to me? Make it high like it's supposed to be.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we are back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm speaking to Anisha Reindorf, who is the owner and founder of Haiku Co., which is a cannabis company. And she is a black woman. So, Anisha, thank you for being here. This conversation has been a lot of fun.
Haiku Co.
Haiku Co. Hey, listen, if you need somebody to do voiceover work, you just call me up.
Yes,
call
me. I am here for it.
No, but on a serious tip, like weed, cannabis, herb, all the different names, has been something that's been in the black community forever. Whether for better or for worse. And how, you being a black woman, you know, owning a company that I feel like there's still a stigma surrounding marijuana How does that affect you? Like, how do you deal with the stigma? Do you get any like negative feedback because of it? What's that kind of deal? Give us the 411.
The 411, the stigma is so real. It's beyond real, especially within the black community, which is astonishing because when you look at history, if you look in the 18th century, cannabis is everywhere in every history book. So it's just like, why do we have this mental mind trap as black people that this is such a bad drug, or not even a drug, but it's a herb, I like to say. So breaking that stigma and showing a lot of black families, like, it's not all about getting high. Once again, it's not all about getting high. It's about changing your perspective on it. It's about learning how you can benefit from it. You can go to sleep at night instead of having these restless days, or your arthritis doesn't have to be hurting every day. Your gout doesn't have to be hurting because you have all these cookouts every weekend. Like, you know, we need to definitely show, especially this older black community, the healing benefits of this and try to take away from, again, that high life or that lazy stoner mentality. Mm-hmm. And it's very unfortunate because, again, on my website, it's mostly education. Knowledge is power to me. So I constantly like to inform my customers, inform new people that, like, this is why we're doing it. This is why you can use it towards you. So every single thing I have is an article about cannabis and so last week, actually, my article was about men's health and cannabis. So being that it's November, and I think it's Black Men's Health Week or Health Month as well.
Okay.
We need to kind of focus on that and kind of break, again, the stigma, because we have so many Black men that are incarcerated to this day because of this plant.
For little things.
So again, getting back to mental health, we need to kind of break all these barriers that we have and that, like, the white man has placed on us that, you know, this is bad, or this is, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. Like, why are there more black men in jail for cannabis when the studies show that it was mostly white people that were doing it?
So that, like, were users, yeah.
Adds up to me, right? Nothing is adding up. So I don't know. I'm here to change that. I'm here to change the stigma, here to get these brothers out and get them home, because this is, at this point, we're in 2021. Cannabis has been legal for about 3 years now. The fact that we still have people locked up for that is ridiculous to me.
I can't say that I've given it a lot of thought, but it's something that definitely crosses my mind. And, like, I've seen, you know, the Instagram videos about of people's opinions and their talks about cannabis and the fact that men in the Black community, mostly men, because I'm sure there are women who have been caught and also locked up for it. But the I would say the majority of the cannabis dealers, you know, the Black men that have been locked up, you know, it just shows this imbalance. Now it's going to be legal, and all of these white companies are they're just popping up. And yep. If we look at it from a business perspective and take away the illegality of it over the past how many decades, it's a big business. Selling the herb, selling weed was a big business, and it wouldn't have been, you know, like,
it's literally built on the backs of our brothers and sisters. That's what I have to say about it. And like, being one of the first Black females in Canada and jumping into this very white male dominated industry, it's only been roadblocks, because up to